night and almost giggly, right? But it wasn't like that enough yesterday. At the same time, there was a lot to be learned. I mean, we all, like his Prabhupada said once to Shatadanya, when Shatadanya looked at Prabhupada and he was like amazed that his body was so wasted away. And Prabhupada said to him, "Don't think it won't happen to you." So that's what we forget. That's called Maya. So Prabhupada was teaching us then how to be dhira. I remember once we were in Mayapur and Srila Prabhupada was speaking. This was before he was sick, some nice Krishna katha. Some Bengali couple came. It was quite crowded in his room. And so Prabhupada stopped speaking and invited them in, you know, and they sat down. And then Prabhupada again began to speak. Very nice Krishna katha. After about 30 seconds, these two people stood up to go out. And I remember thinking, "Boy, these people are so stupid. I don't know, what are they doing?" And when they went out, then Prabhupada said, "That is the problem. They are not dhira. They're not sober to hear." So that was what we were learning in those last days, how to be sober, how to wait. Like some devotees were restless and thinking, you know, what are we doing? You know, who knows how long we have to wait here? But really, that's what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted us to wait with him in those last months. It was really 6 months. We were with him in Rishikesh when he turned for the worse. That was in May, and then he came back to Vrindavan, and then he called all of GBC. I remember once looking through the window at night. I think I had a night guard, and seeing Prabhupada translating. And then I could see that his body was troubling him, like he was disturbed by his condition. And he had to stop the translating. And then the next morning we went all to Vrindavan. So he was teaching us. On the way back, I remember we stopped in Delhi, and then we were on the roof because it was still hot. It was summer season, May, I guess. And then Baba was resting on the roof on his bed, and we were kind of sleeping on the ground, you know, the floor of the roof. And there was one new person who had come, and he was going to guard Prabhupada because Prabhupada was sick. And so he was staying up, on, you know, standing up near Prabhupada. The Prabhupada called me and said, "Tell him to sit down, tell him to sit down." You know, Prabhupada wasn't a fanatic, you know, he didn't want somebody fanatically to be around him and standing, you know. So I had to tell this person, "That's okay." Then we went to Vrindavan, and then from there Prabhupada went to Bombay, and then he went also to back to, on the way to London, and that was later even still, but it was pretty serious by that time, by May. You know, it wasn't just like Prabhupada wasn't feeling well or something, it was like a serious thing. Then we I remember once we came, he probably then again called the GBC, and like in the fall, in the September must have been, or October, I think October, he called everybody to come again. Prabhupada was like the GBC in India. If anybody who knows, when he was in India, he was like managing. So I was working in India, so I was like working under him, it was more like directly. So then we came in October. And then Prabhupada's condition had gotten much worse. I was practically shocked when I saw Prabhupada's body, you know, how wasted it was. And I was kind of nervous. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how to relate to it. Is this the same person, you know, how, you know, because I'm on the bodily platform. We're all on the bodily platform, more or less. except for Prabhupada. So when I saw his body like that, I didn't know exactly how I was kind of. So then I came in the room and I was kind of sitting in the back a little bit. I was probably couldn't see too well. And then he asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, "Is Sri Vikram Swami here?" And Tamal Maharaj, you know, he said, "Kirtananda," because you know I was like a small time devotee, so Prabhupada wouldn't be asking for me. So he said, "The Kirtananda," and Prabhupada said, "No," and he said my name again. And then I answered, I said, "Yes, Sri Prabhupada." And afterwards, Tamal said, "Boy, you never know the mind of a spiritual master." But then Prabhupada said, "Yes, Tamal Krishna, because see, Tamal was the secretary, and Tamal Krishna said, "Yes, Prabhupada, do you want to sing?" So Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's okay." So I started to sing, but I was nervous. I didn't sing properly. I didn't sing in a relaxed, you know, how you have to sing, like we were just singing. And Prabhupada didn't like it immediately. He could sense, you know, in other words, although his body was wasted away, but he was just right there. His consciousness was right there. And, you know, I was the one who was in Maya. I mean, I was the one who was affected by his condition more than he was, if you know what I mean. And because of his condition, I was affected, and therefore I couldn't sing properly. And Prabhupada immediately said, "Oh," he didn't like, he stopped it. So it was like that all the way to the last days. I mean, his conscience was very clear. I remember once this Krishnadas Babaji came and sat on Prabhupada's bed. And Prabhupada was talking, and he was so articulate and seeing everything. And this Krishnadas Babaji was shocked, he said. And then Prabhupada made a point of it. He said, and he preached to us. You just see how my consciousness is good. In other words, Prabhupada, in some ways you would think he was a real egotist because he talked about himself very highly sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it was really just to teach us about what his position was and how, you know, we should aspire for that and not imitate that. That's what happened. Of course, after Prabhupada left, so many people tried to imitate. And that's what the Gaudiya Math did too. That was wrong. Instead of, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta didn't pick any acharya, but they tried to imitate. Okay, now I'm the next acharya. That was one thing I heard Prabhupada say just before he got sick. One of his godbrothers came and Srila Prabhupada was speaking to him a little bit. I remember the room where I was sitting, where Prabhupada was sitting, where the godbrother was sitting. And then they started talking about the history of Gaudiya Math. And Prabhupada spoke very humbly. But then when he came to the point, he said, "But it is my opinion that the mistake the Gaudiya Math made," and then he spoke with such authority, it was absolute. "The mistake the Gaudiya Math made, they tried to create a perfect man. You cannot create a perfect man because they wanted to make an acharya. But Bhaktisiddhanta," then he said, "our Prabhupada spoke about so many things in the last days. Why he didn't speak about this? This person would be acharya. He didn't. He said, make the GVC and go on with your preaching work." So he said, that Prabhupada said, that was the mistake. So we kind of made that mistake too. You know, we thought, these 11 are perfect or something. And we see, it's not, you can't imitate somebody like Prabhupada without becoming degraded. So Prabhupada really was at that level. He wasn't, and when he would speak to us like, you know, making us understand that he was at that level, that was just to train us. It wasn't, there was no ego there at all. So Prabhupada did that a lot. so that we wouldn't fall victim of that imitation. There's two things, right? Anukara, anusara. One is following in the footstep, and one is imitating. So we were imitating some. Luckily, I was such a small devotee, I never got a chance to imitate, so that saved me from that. But another time in those last days, I made another mistake. I came to Prabhupada's room, and he was resting, and so I went in the back into Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room. He was the secretary. Naturally, I had a relationship with him. We were talking about something. And then Prabhupada rang the bell. So we both went into the Prabhupada's room. And Srila Prabhupada was asking, "Has he come yet?" And he was asking about the doctor. There was a doctor, Kaviraj, coming from Calcutta. Shatadanya had been sent, and Ajitaran was involved. And they were bringing this Kaviraj doctor, the last doctor. Prabhupada had seen in a vision something, a doctor with the Ramanuja Tilak. So he was asking about him. What was the report? Was he on his way? How do you know? You know, he was concerned about that. Then he was silent for a moment, and then he said, naturally he was talking to Tamal because he was his secretary. He said, has he gone yet? So I was just sitting there, you know, I didn't have any business, but I put my 2 cents in, and I thought he was talking about the doctor again, because he had been talking about the doctor. And I said, yes, Prabhupada. But he probably had changed the subject. He was talking about his son. So then it was silence when I said yes. The whole room was silent. Right? And I thought, oh God, I'm on thin ice now. So I tried to get off, you know, get back to the shore. And I said something. Prabhupada said, who do you think I mean? I meant? And then I started, you know, apologizing, saying, well, Prabhupada, I guess I was just speculating. Who did you think I meant? He wouldn't let me go. You know, he just... As I say, it was, you know, Prabhupada sometimes said I was 80% lenient, but in the last days it was like 50-50. So, then I said, well, I thought you were talking about the doctor, Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada was lying in the bed, right? And I was sitting on this. When I said that, he kind of turned. You ever heard of a cold shoulder?
Yeah.
Well, he gave me a cold shoulder. And it felt like it went right into my heart. You know, he just turned his shoulder away from me. Didn't say anything. But obviously he was displeased because I had spoken when I shouldn't have. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj very intelligently said, who did you mean, Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah.
You were so intelligent, I think. I've been having dreams about him recently.
Really?
2 dreams, yeah. Nice dreams. So, then Prabhupada said, I was speaking about my son, that Vrindavan Chandra was there and he had left, and so Prabhupada was talking to his secretary about his son, and I, you know. So, the point is that Prabhupada was correcting us. I remember another time that Prabhupada said, why are the devotees not coming? They think I'm poisoned. Because... you know, some devotees were going and they weren't staying there. Prabhupada really wanted everybody to stay. He was saying, everybody should come, all my disciples. That's another issue, I don't want to get into that, but you know, a lot of people didn't get that message, right? But he was saying like that. So then, Japataka Maharaj was there. He said, Prabhupada, but we had to go to Calcutta to do this work, something like that. Then Prabhupada said, that's okay, but even when you're here, you're not here. He wasn't just singing out Jaipataka, but the point was, even when you're here in Vrindavan, you're not in my room. He wanted to be surrounded by his disciples. So he was correcting us. That's the point I wanted to make. Like he was correcting me about that. And he was also encouraging us. Like I remember once we played with these real small cartels, because that was the only, he didn't want to laugh. Like it was a different mood. It was really sober. And once I was singing, I think it was in Shingarati, and then Prabhupada said, he stopped it and he said, you are singing very nicely. And it felt so good because it wasn't flattery, you know, it was like really coming from, just, you know, the same way the chastisement hurt so much, although he didn't do much, he just turned his shoulder, but it was still, it really made me feel like shit, excuse my French. That I was so rude to, you know, to disturb Prabhupada. And when he said that, oh, you sang so nicely, that also made me feel so wonderful, you know. It was like he had that much, so much power over us. It wasn't like he was senile, you know, like your grandfather or somebody when he gets old. You just flatter him and you say something. But Prabhupada was right there. I mean, he was very much the master of the scene. And pulling the strings, even in the last days, you know, when they talk of the Bullock's card and then Bhakti Tru Maharaj. Bhakti Tru Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda were kind of like intimates, and they were serving him very closely. And so we were a little step removed. Although, Prabhupada knew we were there. Like once I was sick for some time and I didn't go into Prabhupada's room, and then I came back, I was singing, he said, oh, you're still here. And then I was thinking, well, where am I going to go, you know? And And then Prabhupada started kind of crying. He said, I'm simply... I'm simply causing you trouble. So naturally that made us feel, you know, very unhappy that he was speaking like that. And I was thinking, no, you're not causing us trouble, probably you're teaching us. I didn't say anything, but I was thinking like that. And then Prabhupada said, you're a young man, you should go preaching, but I'm keeping you here, or something like that. And then he said, so call the others. So I went in and, you know, went to the room and called to Makesh Maharaj, and Prabhupada wants to speak to all the devotees. So then everybody came in, out of the devotees. And Prabhupada started on the same theme. He said, I'm simply causing trouble, so let us go on Prikram. Then he started this idea of the box car. And we thought it was crazy, you know. Prabhupada was so frail, his bones were like, how's he going to go in a bullock's cart? And I remember I objected. I said, Prabhupada, but it's cold, you know, where will you stay at night? He said, no, we can stay under a tree. You know, what could you say? You know, so then, if you read in the conversation books or in the diary, you'll see that it was too much for these devotees, especially Bhakti Chiru and Tamakrishna Maharaj and Bhavan, and they came down that night and said, Prabhupada, we can't sleep, we're going crazy. We can't think how you're going to go on a bullock's cart. You know, your body is so small, the Kavi Raj, why are you giving up like this? You know, they were pleading with Prabhupada, please don't go, it's just suicidal. So then Prabhupada turned to Babaji, who was there, that Krishna's Babaji was there at that time too, and he said, just see how much affection they have for me. So he said, all right, I don't want to cause you trouble, I won't go, I'll stay. So that was a far out pastime. How Prabhupada was ready to go out like that. And then Tamakrishna said, oh, Prabhupada, you're making us love you more and more. He said, Prabhupada said, yes, that is my job. So it was like that. I mean, even though it wasn't so easy sometimes, but it really was, you know, we were seeing Prabhupada in such an intimate condition. I mean, generally you wouldn't see somebody like that openly, like leaving his body, dying over the weeks and months. And so it was a very important lesson, and Prabhupada was, you know, mostly they put people in the hospital in some room, nobody sees them, right? And they close the curtains. But the Prabhupada was open, everybody could come. In those days, last days, everybody could come in, massage his feet, and you know, have association and sit and talk. And he was translating even in the last days. I remember once he was just finishing the translating. Jai Gautam was there with the microphone, and I was going word for word, and you know, and then the purport he was giving. And then Prabhupada said, this is the real life. And he said, and then he started to quote that one verse about how in rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and lost, isn't lost, but if one who is engaged in the Bhagavatam. So, you know, that was what Prabhupada was teaching us, how to die. You know, we're all going to have to die. So, in that sense, it was the most important lesson. I mean, we forget we're going to die. That's the nature of this material world, especially when we're young. So nature's giving us a sign, but still we can die even when we're young. So we should have become sober, try to understand. All right, anybody else like that?
I never heard that angle before, that Prabhupada, actually, the idea about the bullock going out and park on the cars, it's really for the disciples, excuse me. Is there a lessons? Is that really?
That was my feeling. Mm-hmm. Because I tell you, he initiated with me when he started saying, I am simply trouble. And then it was like that follow up in that same mood, let me go out.
I wanted to say something also about how shocking Prabhupada's appearance was, but how sharp he was simultaneously.
Yeah.
Bhavananda had asked me to chant for Srila Prabhupada late at night. It was like from 12 to about 2:33 in the morning. So it was me, Srila Prabhupada, and it was Bhavananda.
On the bed.
Bhavananda was there by the bed.
Yeah.
And I was there. And I just, small, like you said, small cartels, no other instruments, no other devotees. It was just me, really, singing. And the room was so quiet. It was very dark, too, because that room has a lot of brown tones. And anyhow, so it was very dark. Prabhupada was lying. He was lying very, very still. So I thought he was sleeping. So I was chanting, and I was thinking to myself, I don't want to mess up the meal like you. I was very nervous, and so I was singing simple melodies, singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I was singing like that. Everything was very still and very quiet, just a little. So then I thought, I had heard this new melody, you know, Brahma Boli.
Oh my God.
So I started singing that. It was still slow. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada's arm went up like this. And it was like the whole room, there's this wave of air, you know, like it was, like it, I could almost see it in slow motion. And I was going, my eyes got really big, and I saw his arm. Stop! And I could hear Prabhupada screaming, you know, and then immediately, right in the middle of the set, I went, Hare Krishna. And I changed the melody the whole time. For 3 hours, I sung that melody. Prabhupada was peaceful. And I didn't change the melody, and I didn't change the pace.
That's right.
But it was just so amazing how aware he was.
He was, yeah,
as
yeah.
soon as I started with the change. And like you said, everybody had access to Prabhupada, because I had never massaged Srila Prabhupada. And I was always thinking to myself, it would be so nice to have the opportunity to massage Srila Prabhupada's feet. So I was sitting on the side of the bed there, and I was just looking at Prabhupada. And it was either Tamal or Bhavananda, I forget which one. They looked at me and he said, you know, they went like this, they went with their hand. And they caught my attention and they said, you're pointing to Prabhupada's feet. And I was like, I was afraid to get up. Because, you know, I was like, here, I had the opportunity. And I was just like, just paralyzed. I knew they were going, okay. Because everybody wanted to do it. And I got up and I started massaging. And there was another devotee. Massaging Prabhupada's left foot, I had Prabhupada's right foot. And I was massaging very gently. And I was just thinking to myself, lotus, you know, lotus. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to massage for a while. And then my GBC was Adi Keshava. And Adi Keshava and I were good friends. So he says, you know, I told Prabhupada you were here and he wants to speak to you. And I was thinking, I was looking around. I said, yeah, are you talking to me? He goes, yeah, Prabhupada wants to speak to you. And I thought, this is very strange. But anyway, Adi Keshava brought me to the side of the bed, and Prabhupada was there, and then he kind of rolled his head over. And Adi Keshava said, Prabhupada, this is Lakshmi. And he said, oh, Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, he's in charge of the Puerto Rico temple, so Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, oh, he said, Puerto Rico. He said, tell me about Puerto Rico. So I started telling him about Puerto Rico. I said, Prabhupada, you would love it there. I was trying to give him a pitch. You know, I said, you would love it there. It's like Hawaii. You know, and it has palm trees, and the weather is never too hot or too cold, and there's always a pleasant breeze, and there's wonderful fruits, you know, mangoes. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice. And I said, yeah, sure, Prabhupada, that'd be wonderful. You know, in order for you to recuperate, you can come there. And he kind of shook his head really, really slowly. So he said, yes, I will come to your East Coast Hawaii. he called it East Coast Hawaii. I said, it sounds very nice. I will come to your East Coast Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. My devotees will be so enlightened, you will love it. And he just kept shaking his head. Yeah.
Tell them how he came.
Yeah, so, of course, Srila Prabhupada left about a week later. He left the planet. And I was just thinking, you know, Prabhupada was just trying to enthuse me and enthuse the devotees. So I went back after Prabhupada departed. I actually got there, you know, and I told the devotees, you know, about Srila Prabhupada and everything that I could remember at that time. And I get this phone call from a devotee that had been with me in New York named Jaguar Summit. And he said that there was a Murti already present on the planet of Srila Prabhupada. Remember, he gave Sudam Swami because he was having trouble. So he told Sudam, you can have a Murti while Prabhupada's still present. Mm-hmm. This is very, very unusual for the Acharya to do that. So Sudam had a marble Murti of Srila Prabhupada carved while Prabhupada was present on the planet. And Prabhupada told him to always worship it, you know, fix his mind on the form of Srila Prabhupada, pray to him. So at that time, Sudam was having, you know, a little trouble, and he was not doing very well Krishna consciously. And he was actually using the Murti to hold incense. So this devotee told me that, he said, this Murti must be worshipped. He said, you know, would you accept the Murti there at the temple? I said, of course I would. Yeah. So he said, I'm going to break into his house and steal it and then send it to you. And I said, okay.
Hey, that's an accomplice.
Yeah, right. And that was it. It was like December. So I hadn't heard from him for like a month, 6 weeks. I just thought, like, you know, he was enthusiastic but chickened out. So I get a phone call from the freight division of the airlines. We have a big crate here for you. And at this point, I wasn't thinking of in the midst of this and that. We just had the Christmas marathon and everything. I said, a crate? He said, yeah. I said, well, what's the size? He described the dimensions. So I took a van. It was a big wooden crate. I said, what is this? It's from California. I thought it was from the BBT or something. And we brought it back. And we popped the crate open. Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the crate, amidst all the packing, was this Murti of Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. And right at that moment, I realized Prabhupada said he would come to his East Coast of life. Mm-hmm. And he came. Mm-hmm. And it was very unusual. I don't remember the chronology, but it was either right before that Murti came or right. Yeah, I think it was right before the Murti came. Prabhupada came to me in a dream. And if you've ever been to the Puerto Rico temple, it's on a mountaintop. And on this mountaintop, the temple's on the hill. So it's at the high point. And the temple sits there. So around this mound that the temple sits on, this little hill, is a road. And you can circumambulate. And I used to walk around that and circumambulate, chant my japa. So Prabhupada came to me in this dream, and we were chanting japa, and Prabhupada has came, and we were walking, we were chanting. And you know, I forget exactly what he said to me, but the one thing he did say, one thing I did notice, is that his complexion was not of Srila Prabhupada's complexion. It was actually of the Murti. Mm. It was the Murti's complexion.
Which was more whitish?
Whitish. It was white marble-ish, but whitish. And I was looking at Prabhupada, how Prabhupada's so pale. And it didn't put it together. You know, the Prabhupada was talking to me about preaching in Puerto Rico and everything. Mm. And I was looking at him, and I don't know if I was hearing him or what, but I was looking at him, and he was so pale, and I was thinking, he's so pale. He almost looks white. And then we were walking, and then the dream ended. And then when we opened the crate and we saw the Murti, of course it was pale because it was marble Murti. And then I realized, you know, Prabhupada had said, yes, I will come to your East Coast Hawaii. Prabhupada came to me in the dream in his Murti form, and he was more or less telling me that...
The dream came before the Murti came?
Yeah, I'm almost positive the dream came before the Murti, because I remember I couldn't figure out why Srila Prabhupada looked so pale. I was just thinking maybe, you know, because... But he wasn't even pale when he was ill. He was very, very thin, you know, very gaunt, but he still has a pale complexion. But this Prabhupada, who was walking and talking and with his cane and everything, was pale. And then when we lifted the Murti out of the crate, it was pale, of course, because it was he was marble. He is marble. And I didn't know this. I didn't know he was, or I didn't remember he was marble. Then I realized everything kind of came together. The dream, Prabhupada saying he would come to his this East Coast Hawaii. And there he was, and he came. And then we had a big kirtan. And at that time, the Puerto Rico temple was kind of, we had just actually moved in there because we were on the beach. And we were having problems because the neighbors, one family was Argentine and the other family was from somewhere else. But we just had an alleyway separating us. So every time we had Mangal Arati, they were on the phone to the police. And we moved up to the mountaintop. It was not quite finished yet. It was very kind of rustic there. And so, but we immediately took him out of the crate. And it was just a small set of Gordian tie, maybe the size of ours there, the large one. And we put him on the altar. And he's been there ever since, being very nicely worshipped. Very nicely. We have Hakka, deity program there now.
How big is the deity?
The deity is Prabhupada, maybe a little bit bigger than our Prabhupada here. Now they have Bhakti Siddhanta too, the same size. So in the Guru Garanga altar is the original Srila Prabhupada who came, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And then the original Puerto Rico Guru Nitai deities, and then the Radha Dhammadhar Guru Nitai. They're the larger ones that were installed on the bus. And then they had Krishna Balaram and Radha Shyam. That was quite amazing.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
So Maharaj, thank you for coming and sharing your wonderful experiences. If anyone has anything else relevant, I'd like to say something. If not.